those moments where he comes and where he asks you, do you believe what you say you believe? Do you trust me? Were you willing to go to another level? 20 years ago, to the Sunday night, I embarked on a new journey. I had just been married, and Heather and I had been married on the 2nd of August. We then went away on honeymoon for a couple of weeks. We came back on a Thursday night, and on this Friday, loaded up our little red Nissan Micra with all the possessions that we had and drove down to Stoke-on-Trent to get there to get the keys for a flat that we'd never seen before, to be honest. And probably if we had seen it, we'd have maybe said thanks, but no thanks. We then spent 2 weeks doing up this flat. It was cerise pink in the hallway. I know. It was a deep purple, and I mean deep purple, in the bedroom, and it was up to about ankle deep in pigeon waste in the balcony of it. Yeah, God bless my mother-in-law, who spent ages just shoveling that and getting rid of it for us in that place. But that was just getting the place ready, and the Saturday night we finished getting the place ready, but the Sunday, I was due to start at Bible college. So I went to Bible college 20 years ago this weekend. And I remember sitting there on the Sunday afternoon, because Sunday evening there was a welcome get together, and thinking, I don't want to go. Thinking those what have I done moments. You ever had a what have I done moment? Where you've kind of stepped out and then you're like, you know, you've stepped out, you're not just there yet, but you're thinking, what have I done? I've taken Heather away from her mum and dad and taken her down, you know, those 272 miles that it was from 37 Court to 14 Argown Square, from Hanley to Greenock. Yeah, what have I done? What I've given up my job with the council and a housing officer with Great Prospect. What have I done? I'm going to be amongst all those men and women of God, and I don't know if I can do it. And it was a moment of surrender. It was a fresh moment of surrender. It was a moment of actually saying, I'm all in. It was a moment of saying, God, you've got me. God, would you use me? A moment of saying, I'm all in. A moment of wholehearted surrender. You know, it all starts with surrender. Normally, surrender is the end. Surrender speaks of defeat. It speaks of loss. It speaks of an unwelcome and unwanted change of circumstances. In most occasions, surrender would probably mean a white flag being waved, an admission of failure, a lack of strength, a termination of position, if not in warfare, your life. Yet for the believer, for those that are friends of Jesus, the moment that we surrender, we actually gain. Isn't that good news? Right, you can switch off now. Put that in. No. We gain. What do we gain when we come to Jesus? Forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin. An experience of that fresh start, that truly the old is gone and that the new has come, that we get to experience a real relationship with Father God. We heard about it this morning, didn't we, from the lady sharing testimony. You know, feeling as though God, think this picture and image of God is being distant, almost sitting in a cloud with a big stick ready to beat us up and wrap us over the knuckles the moment that we get something wrong. We realize that God is our loving Heavenly Father. That he is holy, he is awesome, he's the Lord God Almighty, God of the angel armies, he's the creator of the whole wide world, but yet he's our loving Heavenly Father. To realize we're forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus and the power of the cross, to realize that we've got the help and the power of the Holy Spirit to get us and to enable us to get through life, to make it, that we've got the reality of heaven and of eternity in our hearts. You see, our surrender is a sweet surrender. Our surrender is a good surrender because it's all about Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And as we surrender to Jesus, we can say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain, that we receive because we are the aggressors, the sinners who stood against God because of our wrong actions, wrong thinking, wrong beliefs. But yet when we surrender, when we bow our knee, when we come to the foot of the cross, when we say, I'm stopping, Jesus, I give up, I surrender to you, we get to experience the victory of the cross. We get to experience the benefits and the blessing of the resurrected Jesus. Why? Because it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells in. That dwells in you and me. When we surrender, we gain all of heaven. We gain the opportunity, we gain the possibilities in God. Galatians chapter 4 and verses 6 to 7 give us a little bit of encouragement in that. When we were far off, when we were distant, when we were not part of God's family, when we were sinners who were standing opposed to God. But you are his sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. An heir is somebody who has an inheritance. A slave had no inheritance. It had nothing, it just had an existence. But a son had an identity, a son had a hope, a son had a future, and we are sons of God, adopted into the family of God. That allows us not to say, God, you're distant, but to call out, Abba, Daddy. Now, I used to think that Daddy God was almost like childlike, and it is, but, you know, Abba would be the discussion that an adult, mature child would have with his father at the same time. It's a word that covers a multitude of expressions of who Father is. And today, because of Jesus, because you're adopted into the family of God, because you come to that place of a wholehearted surrender and saying, I'm all in, you get to be called a son of God. And daughters too. That you get to be an heir of the promise, the inheritance of all that could be yours in Jesus. Yet we do have to deny ourselves. Jesus said it in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, if anyone would come after me, they need to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. And as we are in wholehearted, as we are saying, I'm all in before the Lord, and actually what we're doing is we're saying, I am taking up my cross. I am choosing to deny myself. And to deny yourself will be different for you than it will be for me, but what does deny look like in your life? I want you to think about that for a minute. If at every day and at every moment we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross and fall, and what does deny look like for you in your world? For me, denying myself is taking up God's best, regardless of the cost. You know, for some of us, we get the idea that, you know, denying ourselves is all the bad things. But what if the all right stuff isn't God's best for us? What if the all right stuff isn't God's absolute best and way for us to be walking in? What do we do then? Are we willing to deny ourselves and give up everything for the sake of following him? Any fans of The Dragon's Den? That BBC Two series where people would go and they'd bring their innovations, they'd bring their ideas, they'd make their pitch before these wealthy backers and they would either say, I'm out, or I'm all in, depending on what they would say. And as I was thinking and planning for what we were going to be doing for the next number of weeks in our Sunday mornings, I had this challenge from heaven for me, for us, for church together, to say, are we all in? Are we all in the things of God? Are we all in for God's plan and for God's purposes for our life? Is there, you know, it's good for us to come to those points and come to those moments of fresh dedication and look at all the areas of our life and just come and to be able to commit them afresh to the Lord. I do remember and realize we've still got some portions in Colossians still to get back to. We've not finished there. We're going to go back there in just a little while. But today, for us to begin to look at, to think at over the next couple of Sundays, are we all in? Are we all in to come to those places of surrender, of fresh surrender, of fresh commitment as we launch into this autumn season as church to say, do you know what? I'm all in. I'm up for it. And God, I'm surrendered. I'm taking up my cross, but I'm part of the family of God. I can call him Father. I can call him Abba. I've got a hope. I've got a future. I've got an inheritance in God. Surrendering isn't about losing. It's about gaining in Christ. Now, I do have to admit that I saw a picture that was in a newspaper of a certain football team that had a fans display. You know, these where they get all the placards, and then when the teams come out, they raise them over their heads. And it was this football manager and saying, I'm all in, of the fans saying, I'm all in. And I very nearly stopped it, calling it and renamed this series because of the team and the manager, but I didn't. Because it's so important that we understand that we need to be what God looks for in our life, is that we are all in. Because surrender can't really be partial. See, Jesus doesn't offer a pitch to us, let somebody come in before the dragons, these financial guys. Jesus provides a way for you and I to encounter, to experience, and continue in the love of God. As Crav was mentioned about the guy that he encountered, but who didn't know the love of God, who had never encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, who had never encountered the ways of God, who never encountered God's purpose for him in the earth. Are you embracing, are you running with God's purpose for you in the earth? But he asks you, are you all in? The autobiography of the now Sky football pundit Graham Souness and former Scotland captain, I'll say no more about him, was entitled No Half Measures. I want to ask you, is that your ongoing testimony and declaration of sweet surrender to King Jesus? No half measures. I'm not half-hearted. I'm fully committed to the things of God. Are you able to come before the foot of the cross and say, you know, I'm taking my watch, I'm taking my time, and saying, do you know what, I'm laying it down. I'm all in. Are you able to get the keys? Whether it's your car, whether it's your house, whether it's the office and the business that it represents, are you able to lay it at the foot of the cross and say, do you know what, I'm all in? Are you able to get your wallet? Hello, church. Are you able to get your wallet? Lay it at the foot of the cross and say, I'm all in. It nearly came open. A moth nearly came out there. Are you able to get your family? Say, I'm all in. Are you all in this morning, church? Before the Lord, are you all in? Are you all in your prayer life? Are you all in your devotions and your Bible study? Are you all in your missional living? Are you all in as you pursue His holiness, His miracles, His Holy Spirit in your life? Or is there maybe, just maybe, a little bit of a divided heart? Is there an ongoing battle and tension over some areas of your life? Recently, I was reading about the battle for Iwo Jima in the Second World War, and that is a doctored sculpture of the very famous photograph that was taken of soldiers who was raising the American flag over this Indonesian island of Iwo Jima that was so important to the American forces in World War II as they fought in the Pacific and all that was going on. And many people are aware of that image, or with the stars and stripes kind of flowing, and we doctored it for our men's conference, but I wanted to use it today because I want it to symbolize what goes on in our hearts. You know, you are strategic for the kingdom of God. That was an opportunity for amen, church. You're strategic for the kingdom of God and for God's plans and purposes in this earth. Why? Because you can pray, you can live, and you can experience His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What I didn't realize till I was reading more about Iwo Jima was that it took them a long time to clear the island. You see, in the island wasn't just opposing an enemy forces, there was an intricate system of tunnels that was there. Now, the battle for Iwo Jima started the 19th of February, but it ended in the 26th of March, 1945. But actually, it didn't. It didn't stop until 1951. You see, skiting about in these tunnels was two enemy soldiers who hadn't got the memo. Or who'd got the memo, but who said, "George, you know what? We're going to fight on. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep on going," even though all the soldiers that had been on the island had either been killed or been taken prisoner or surrendered. Yet for these two, and while that was ongoing, all they did was go all around about the tunnel. Actually, in the hilltop where the flag and the standard was raised was actually a seven-story command center and tunnels all over the island. And they would just go and they would hide for a while and then they'd jump out and they'd ba-bang, shoot some folks, and then they'd go away and wouldn't be seen and they'd be in another part hiding away and then ba-bang. That was a gunshot, by the way. They'd kill, they'd destroy. They just keep at it so that the island wasn't completely surrendered. Church, do we allow just a little portion of the enemy snipers to come and to take up residence in our hearts and in our lives? Do we allow it to be in that place where we say we're going for God, but every time we want to take a step for God, every time we want to launch out and to use that place as a launch pad for greater things in God, it's so the enemy comes out and says, do we need to allow the Lord to deal with some areas of our life that's maybe not all in, but it's just partial in? Read in the book of Revelation, the letter to the church at Ephesus, and being in that place where it's you've lost your first love. And I'm not making statements over people, I'm not making statements of church, but it's good for us to come to those places and say, where are we in that? Are we as passionate about God now as the first moment that we came to faith? Are we all in? Today is your day. Today is your opportunity to say, do you know what? I am all in the things of God. I'm all in surrender. How? Give in, give up, and give out. Give in to repent. Say sorry to God, to leave it at the foot of the cross. You know, the word repent means to turn 180 degrees, to walk in the opposite direction of, say, that thing where the enemy has had a foothold in my heart and in my life, that thing that has stopped me every single time I want to go on with God. I maybe have, you know, a month of doing well, and then all of a sudden, bang, but it's the same issue, it's the same thing. Do you know what? I'm going to not give the enemy a foothold in my life. He's going to be flushed out for the last time. I'm going to allow the Lord to deal with it. I'm going to give in. I'm going to put away those things and those attitudes that aren't God-honoring. Remember, we honor them with our life, our lips, and our lifestyle. Anything that's going to not bring a smile to the face of God, I'm not going to do. I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up thanks. I'm going to give up praise. That willing heart, that surrendered heart that says, Lord, I am yours. And even our living then becomes an act of worship. Not just our sung stuff, not our hands, or if we're jumping about, if we're that way inclined, or, you know, but our whole life becomes an act of worship of all that we are to give glory to Him. Every single moment of every day, we give in, we give up, and we give out. How we live, how we think, how we act, that transformed life, that holy living. And, you know, holy living isn't just about saying no to the world. Holy living is also about saying yes to the things of God. It's about saying yes to His ways, yes to His plan, yes to His purposes. But if His purposes will bless us, is that not a good thing? If His purposes will cause others to see and to receive the goodness of God, to kind of have an encounter with Jesus, isn't that a good thing? Isn't it worth us saying, I'm all in? Isn't it worth us saying, I'm surrendered to you, O God? Here's what surrender looks like. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 25. We might think that surrender is about beating ourselves up or being beaten up by God or being disciplined by God. But I've said when we surrender, we gain. Some of you may be thinking, well, Gordon, you've not brought a Bible passage right now about coming to the cross, about repenting. And yes, I've already said those things are important, but here's our strategy for surrender. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was for your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are burdened, weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Surrender, our strategy for surrender is rest for your soul. It's rest for your soul. How many times do we get it wrong because we get frustrated at the timing of God? He's not moving fast enough. He's not doing quick enough. It's not happening in the way that I wanted it to. So I strive. I do something and I operate in my own strength. Rest for my soul because I don't get any peace because I've let sin come in and have a dwelling place in my heart and a place in my life, and sin becomes to sit in the throne of my life instead of King Jesus. Rest for our souls. Here's our strategy for surrender. In verse 25 and verse 26, know that the Father takes pleasure in hiding the things of the kingdom in plain sight, but only childlike faith sees them. So what do we need to develop? Childlike faith. He says it, I believe it. What about surrendering your sight for the Father's smile? Surrender your sight for the Father's smile. He has hidden the things of the kingdom in plain sight. Ask him in your life afresh for those eyes that see the thing of the kingdom. Ask him for the things of childlike faith for your pleasure. This, Father, this was for your pleasure. Verse 27. You know, they often say in the world, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And we see that in a negative context because often that's how we see they got the job that I wanted because there was a connection that was there. But in the things of the kingdom, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Verse 27, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not how much of the Bible you can or can't quote. It's not how much time you've spent in prayer, although time in prayer is a good thing, as long as the heart relationship's right and is there. But do you know him? Do you know the Son? Are you encountering the Son? Are you encountering the Savior? Are you encountering King Jesus in your quiet times, in your hidden moments, in those times where no one else is looking on? Do you know the Son? Strategy for surrender, childlike faith, and your sights for the Father's smile. It's not who you, what you know, it's who you know. To give up what weighs you down. To give up what weighs you down. Verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Why do we make it so difficult? Why do we make it so difficult for ourselves? We almost, in a sense, make it difficult for the Lord, although there's nothing too difficult for him to do. Because we hold on to things. We try and make it better. We try and work it out. We hold on when we should be surrendering. We say, I'm partially in, when we should be saying, I'm all in. We give up what weighs you down. The Lord offers to carry the burden. The Lord offers to carry that thing that stops you from full surrender and being, I'm all in. Stop trying to make it work. Stop trying to make it happen. It will destroy you. Choose supernatural rest that is only found in King Jesus. Trust him and learn to be led. Verse 29, the invitation from Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart. There is an invitation this morning to surrendered partnership with the King of Kings and with the Lord of Lords. It is not about, rest is not about doing nothing. Rest is about going at the Lord's pace, going in the Lord's direction, being yoked. You know, the symbolism is of the bar that would have been across the oxen's back that the farmer would use for plowing. I want to tell you the place of our surrender, the reason for our surrender, the reason for our rest, the reason for being yoked is because there's a field to be harvested. There are seeds that have been sown in people's lives, and Crabb mentioned that when he was sharing that testimony, that cannot be, that will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. They need to be harvested. Jesus said that the fields are white and ripe unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Okay, church, are we all in when it comes to harvesting? Are we all in when it comes to laboring? Are we all in when it comes to resting? Are we all in when it comes to surrendering? Are we all in from taking His yoke upon us? Are we all in at going at His pace? Are we all in our service to Christ? Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3 describes his relationship with others in the church at Philippi as being their loyal yoke fellows, joined together in the common purpose of loving God and of serving each other and of serving the city that they find themselves in. Church, are we all in? Half of us. In the Old Testament, being under the yoke would be a term that would be used when they were being under subjection to an enemy force. Guys, are we all in? Are we all out of that? No longer saying I'm letting the enemy have a foothold and have a direction in my life. It's the Lord's way. It's the Lord's yoke. Unsuitable partnerships and relationships. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 16 talks about the believer not being, or believer being unequally yoked and making sure they're not, because what does darkness have to do with light? We talk about it in relationships, and it's right to do it in relationships, but I tell you what, it's also to do with business as well. It's in the context of business also. So in all things, are we making sure that we're not unequally yoked? It's the Lord's way that we are living and that we are operating in. Trust Him. Learn to be led. Take the image of an oxen rather than the image of a sheep. You know, the sheep head down, tail up, and munch, 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 not looking where they're going, but an oxen that's harnessed under the yoke that's there of the Lord, moving in His direction that He wants them to. In verse 30, stay there, every burden and light yoke. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, remain in Me, and you will bear fruit, fruit that will last. Position yourself in the presence of the Lord. Surrendered heart, I'm all in, means a wholehearted, means a healed heart, and also a 100% committed heart. Right now, the enemy in the flesh can probably give you 101 reasons to stay as you are, to convince you that you can continue in this conflict, that you're all right, where you are right now is almost good enough. It's enough to get away with, but is it your best for the Lord? Is it the Lord's best for you? Yet there's a tug of the Holy Spirit that says, come on and risk it all for the One who risked His all for you. The tug of the Holy Spirit for you says, you know, you can overcome. You don't need to be in the same kind of merry-go-round and routine of failure and of thinking you're doing well in God and then failure and thinking you're doing well in God and failure. In fact, Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14 and says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Everybody say no. See, you can say no. Next time there's a challenge for ungodliness, you can say no. You might want to say no. Neat. No. But say no. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Are you eager this morning? Are you eager to do what is good? I'm not convinced, church. I'm not convinced that you're there yet. I can give another hour or so in this to really get you going. We've got this tug of war that goes on in our hearts and lives between the flesh and the spirit. And this morning, who's in control of you? Is it the flesh? Is it the enemy? Is it the Lord? When the enemy, the flesh, the world would come against you, encourage you to act ungodly, to cave and give in to temptations, to develop a pattern of thinking that wouldn't be honoring to the Lord? Can I encourage you to get out strong and commit? To get out strong and commit. In those moments to say, I'm putting the cross at the center of my life. I'm raising a banner that is the Lord's, to get out strong and to commit. It was a phrase that was made famous when it was seen written in ink in the palm of 24-year-old Lindsay Sharp's hand during the final of the 800 meters in the 2014 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. Everything had been against her. Everything had been against her running the race. She feared that she would lose her foot after a leg wound from an injury that made her miss most of the previous year's season in 2013 had become flesh-eating just months before the games. And they were talking about surgery, talking about even taking her foot off. Then when she made it to the athlete's village, she was struck down by a mysterious virus and a vomiting bug. You know, hours before the race, she was hooked up to a drip. Hours before the final. Yet she knew that there was a prize at stake. She knew the thing that she desired most, that she had trained, that she'd been committed to, and she was going to give her 100% towards it, regardless of what had come against her, regardless of every piece of advice that said, no, don't do it. Regardless of every physical situation and emotional situation that would say, you can't go for it. Said, you know what, I'm going to get out strong, I'm going to commit. When I'm running the race, I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to go through that barrier, I'm going to go to the next level, I'm going to take it and give it my everything. I'm going to get out strong, I'm going to commit. She was saying, I'm all in. We say no to ungodliness. When we say no to ungodliness, we say yes to Jesus. When we say yes to Jesus, we say yes to his yoke, his way. The way that brings the kingdom, the way that brings the smile and the good pleasure of the Heavenly Father. The way that allows us to see the things of the kingdom and to move and to operate in those things. In computer science and data management, a commit is the making of a set of tentative changes permanent. Where things that had been planned, things that had been spoken about, things that had been suggested as being a way forward, a commit was the point where they say, it's permanent, it is done, it is changed, and it is going to be irreversible. We are not going back. Popular usage at the end of a transaction. Church, are we in that place of commit? Are we in that place of get out strong and commit? Are we in that place of taking his yoke upon us and learning from him? Are we in that place of supernatural rest this morning? Are we in that place of wholehearted surrender? Are we in that place of raising the Lord's standard over the heart of our life that says the enemy has been defeated and he has no foothold, no toehold, or any sniper in my life that is going to cause me to fall, that is going to cause me to go back, that is going to prevent the way of the Lord being seen in my life? Are we all in? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Luke and worship team, can you just come back and would you join us?